Welcome to the WellPower Podcast, the ultimate biohacking roadmap, showcasing the brightest minds, research, and optimization tools across fitness, nutrition, health, and high performance, with insight and approachable methods to power your wellness. I'm your host, Kristen. Let's take it there. This is WellPower.
Wow, we have a two-part series. Super stoked to bring you guys part one today of Becoming Anti-Fragile. And I'm so grateful to have Jason Stauffer and Adrian Jezik of Morosco Forge here as my guests today to bring their experience, their evidence, their anecdotes, and their insight from the research on all the benefits that deliberate cold exposure and ice baths bring. I began my relationship with Morosco Forge over a year ago when I, as I do, started writing their CEO via email asking questions about the build and the units and what exactly they were doing, because I was working on coaching women here at my place and out of the ice bath and with breath work. And I was just trying to find a way to ease the logistics because I'm carrying bags of ice, 150 plus pounds up three flights of stairs and setting up an ice bath and really just taking a lot of time, funds, and coordination to get it ready so that I could actually do the real work with these clients, or just doing all that work so I could do deliberate cold exposure and take an ice bath myself. Now, I love a good ice plunge, so I wanted to write, and I connected with Thomas Seeger, who's the CEO of Morosco Forge, and said, hey, what's up with this? How are you building these units? What is your experience with the clients that are getting into these units? And also, do you have more research? Because I love research on the benefits around cold exposure or exposure therapy. So he was great. He shared some more insight and information. And then he even wrote me at some point and asked for some feedback on a filtration system that they were making, because people who already have a setup may just need filtration, which Morosco also sells besides selling these gorgeous ice bath full setups. And getting to know Thomas briefly via email and having him be so passionate led me to get to know and follow Jason and Adrian, and now I get to have them on the show. And they're going to share everything about their background and experience and how it has built them the baseline for creating these beautiful units and bringing health and optimization to people's wellness around the world. So Jason is the president of Morosco Forge. He's a Phoenix native. He's an Army combat veteran and a graduate with a degree in engineering, civil, environmental, and sustainable engineering. He has a background in healthcare analytics, game theory, and systems analysis and optimization. His early career gave him this intimate knowledge working in pharmaceuticals. He got to see the decreasing ability of synthetic medicine to treat underlying causes of diseases from aging, chronic ailments, and post-industrial afflictions of the urban human society. So he wanted to make something that was more natural to be able to benefit people's health and wellness, or find a way to do this outside of the realm of the pharmaceutical world. And Adrian is the lead cold coach at Morosco Forge. She's been practicing deliberate cold exposure since 2017. And a number of years before that, she was diagnosed with three autoimmune diseases, including Hashimoto's, which I continue to see on the rise. She began her quest then to try to figure out, how do I get greater health? And she developed a regular cold exposure practice, ice bathing weekly, daily even, and she's reversed through this practice all traces of autoimmune. And now she's coaching others to do the same. So she has a great method, and she's got the background, the experience, and can share a lot of anecdotal evidence, of which we will do today. And I just want to touch on ice baths in general, because we are here to expose you to all of the benefits of ice baths and how it can help you optimize your health. Well, even in part two, we'll touch on contrast therapy, where we talk about using ice baths and saunas in contrast. But it's really important that you know, and you have as a listener, some personal responsibility about your health and well-being, and that you are feeling comfortable about getting yourself into cold, or you are making sure with your doctor or a medical professional that you don't have any contraindications and that ice baths are okay and great for you. So make sure you know that about yourself as you're diving into this episode, and listen closely because we got a lot to share, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I have We're going to become anti-fragile. You know that I love a little cold exposure, right? A little cold shower, an ice bath. Sometimes they call it cold thermogenesis. No matter what it is, I am a super fan of the ice bath. And along the journey of me putting a trough on my roof and a freezer up there and all the logistics and the stuff that I have to manage every single time I want to have an ice bath or I want to have clients over to coach them through an ice bath, I have to do all this hard work and the diligence to be able to get it done and set up. And the setup and breakdown just takes a long time, a lot of effort, and a lot of moving parts. And so very early on, when Morisco Forge first came out, I found them online and said, this is the dream. This is top on the list for my 2020 dream sheet. How do I get one of these in my own home? Now, it can go indoors or outdoors. It's custom made when you order it. And it is the first and only ice bath that makes its own ice and it's self-filtering. So you don't really have to worry too much about setup or breakdown. It's all self-contained and ready there for you. And it comes in a beautiful case that has a lid and the water's protected and everything. So I'm telling you, if you are doing cold showers or ice baths in any way and you know it's something you want to incorporate in your life on the regular, you've got to check out Morisco Forge, MoroszkoForge.com, MoriscoForge.com. And listeners here, using the code WARRIOR, WARRIOR, you save $150 on a unit. So if you are ready to invest, let me tell you, these are the most beautiful units and you should check them out online, MoriscoForge.com. Save $150 with the code WARRIOR and I promise you, I will be right over your house to come do an ice bath with you. Hey, Jason and Adrian, great to have you on the Well Power Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Looking forward to this.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So today we are going to talk a lot about cold exposure, some contrast therapy, taking the plunge in the ice, as it were. And I wanted to sort of open and have you each tell us a little bit about your wellness origin story and how you came together to start Morisco Forge.
The way I tell the story is that it all goes back to a book. And the book is titled Anti-Fragile, Things That Gain from Disorder. And it's written by a man named Nassim Nicholas Taleb. It's kind of it's a philosophical essay, about 500 pages, on this concept of anti-fragility, this idea that there are certain systems and things in reality that you can apply stress to them and they actually get better. A lot of the thinking he applies towards like economic systems, social systems, things like that, but it's biological systems as well. That's the understanding that if we go to the gym and we lift weights, we are actually introducing trauma to our muscles. We're tearing our muscle tissue. This is trauma to our muscles. And when our muscles repair themselves, they don't just repair themselves back to the point they were before. They actually get a little bit better. You can think about this in terms of pruning a tree. So if I want a tree to grow taller, I will prune its lower branches. Now, this is actually trauma to the tree. It's stress to the tree. The tree doesn't just grow back the branches that you took from it. It grows taller, it reaches up towards the sun. And so we can understand that on a biological level, there are certain types of stress states that we can introduce to our bodies that have this expectation of returning more value. So that's kind of my high level, what I picked up from that book. It really kind of changed the way that I think about things and the way that I think about how I approach the world around me, the environment, the types of activities that I engage in. I started looking for these little ways that I could, you know, stress my system out, but in a way that I had this expectation that was going to return that value. So one of the things that that led me to was my first ice bath and my first Wim Hof class. I had kind of on the periphery started becoming aware of Wim Hof. I'd heard about, you know, there was a Vice episode with this Iceman guy who's doing all these things, and you know, just kind of aligned with that culture until a local Phoenix yoga instructor I know named Gordon Ogden started doing kind of ad hoc amateur Wim Hof classes out of his house in Phoenix. So he was doing them like sporadically every couple of Fridays or so. There was no real like set schedule. You just get a text message on Thursday night saying, hey, be at the house tomorrow at 6 a.m. with two bags of ice if you're in for Wim Hof. And so that was the first kind of breathwork cold immersion experience that I had. That was October of 2017. So I did that. And so, you do the Wim Hof breathing for about half an hour. And that was pretty interesting, getting that kind of charge of oxygen and then realizing that you can hold your breath for a really long time because you have taken in all this oxygen. And so you've got it kind of stored up. And then took my first ice bath. It might have lasted, maybe 30 seconds, just kind of long enough for me to return my panic to calm, dunk my head and get out. And I kind of understood on visceral level that there was something to that. There was something really special to that experience, something kind of awakening. And so I was like, this is amazing. This is kind of what I've been looking for, this intentional state of stress that has, I feel, some sort of return on the investment. Carried through with that for a few more of Gordon's classes. It was nothing that Adrienne could take part in. She had an office job that was a little bit more stringent, so she didn't have enough time to make it to Gordon's. And like I said, Gordon wasn't really doing them very regularly, and I wanted to be able to do this on my own. So I got my own galvanized steel stock tank, took it to my backyard in Phoenix, Arizona, and, basically just kind of started replicating what Gordon was doing with the breathing techniques and having, a few people over every Sunday for some deep breathing and some ice baths. That allowed Adrienne to do her first immersion, which I'm sure she'll tell as part of the creation story, and also gave me the opportunity to start looking into the therapy itself and not just feeling that there was something beneficial to it, but actually digging into the little bit of science that has been done. I also introduced the practice to my now business partner, Tom Seeger, who is the CEO of Morosco Forge. He is a friend of mine, a former professor at Arizona State University. He is a professor at Arizona State University, formerly one of my professors, and I TA'd for an undergraduate getting my engineering degree. And so he's a research scientist. And so he really started digging into the literature and making all these connections with the vascular system and lymphatic system and brown adipose tissue and white blood cells and all these things like that. And just kind of really solidifying that, yeah, it's not just some, neat trick to do where you show people that you can tolerate cold. It is actually working on a lot of systems in a healthful way. So telling you all of that, we're getting past the fall of 2017 through the winter and kind of into the spring. We're really looking to do the cold immersion even more often than once a week. We were trying to solve this problem of how do we do this several times a week, without spending a ton of money on bags of ice and hauling them to the store, creating all kinds of plastic trash, just to create an ice bath that's only going to last for a few hours. So we started looking online, first of all. We said, maybe somebody has solved this problem for us. We know that we didn't invent cold immersion. Wim Hof didn't invent cold immersion. Sports teams and physical rehabilitation facilities have been doing this for a long time. Maybe there's something out there, some mechanical solution out there. And it turns out that there were, and there still are, other mechanical solutions out. Namely, there's a company that's like coldtub.com who makes a lot of ice baths. And there's, I think we found like one or two other people at the time that were doing like chiller units. The problem is that they were very expensive because the market until this kind of personal deliberate cold exposure culture emerged, the market was all in sports teams and high-end physical rehabilitation and wellness centers and things like that. So the units that were out there were like $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, something like that. And it's just not feasible. So we're kind of scratching our heads, Tom and I, and we're like, I've got an engineering degree. You're a professor of engineering. We know a lot of the theory behind thermodynamics and, stuff like that, mechanics. Like, what if we made our own? What if we just tinkered around with some stuff? And so the first thing that we started doing was I started tearing apart little dorm fridges in our backyard here in Phoenix and just trying to figure out, like, okay, how does this work? How does a refrigerator make the cold on the inside and take that thermal energy and, dissipate it to the outside? And can it be done in water? So just starting with some early experiments, tore apart maybe three or four refrigerators, created a really ugly insulated box around the galvanized steel tank and just basically took all of these refrigerator parts and slapped them together in a way to make our first ice bath. And at the same time that we were kind of doing this backyard engineering project, Tom was getting into the science. We were also getting into the social media aspect of it, following hashtags, you know, kind of looking out there, who's doing the same thing, what kind of problems are people trying to solve. And we kind of realized at that moment that we weren't just solving our own problem of wanting to be able to do this on a regular basis. We were actually solving the problem a lot of people were trying to solve. A lot of people out there were, you know, trying to stock up and make ice and, you know, have these cold immersion events so that, you know, everybody brings their own ice, trying to figure out a way to be able to do this more often on a regular basis and minimize their costs. And so at that point, we kind of realized that, you know, this was a company, this is a product. We needed to iterate our ugly backyard design forward. It's kind of, and let it grow into kind of a consumer facing product. And so that's kind of the big idea there at the time that, you know, in early spring of 2018.
Cool. Super interesting to hear you go all the way back that far when you're taking apart refrigerators in your backyard to see how it all works. I love that. Yeah. Cool. Adrian, share with us a little where you came from and how you got here.
Like Jason said, I was a little bit later to the game to cold water immersion because he was able to try it a few times before I did. So the first time that I did it was at our house in our backyard where we just had a few friends over. And I never used to like the cold. I hated the cold. I grew up in Florida. I lived in Hawaii. Arizona summers are my absolute favorite time of year. 119 degrees outside at 9 o'clock at night feels like a nice big warm hug to me. So the thought to me of even getting in an ice bath and being that cold was preposterous. Like I really just couldn't mentally wrap my head around that idea. But I had been sick for a very long time. At this point, going on almost 2.5 years of dealing with 3 separate autoimmune conditions after a whole lifetime of being healthy, suddenly at 32 years old, in a year, I had gained over 30 pounds, which I ended up gaining in total through all this experience, about 50 pounds. But in the first year, it was 30 pounds right away. I was immediately put on all kinds of medications, diagnosed with 3 separate autoimmune conditions. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I was diagnosed with eosinophilic esophagitis, which is basically like allergies of the esophagus. And I was allergic to just about everything that you can imagine, and urticaria. So 3 just big, huge words with diagnoses and long lists of pills that I was taking that never, ever made me feel better. So I'm 6.5 years in, I'm 50 pounds overweight. By this point, I was experiencing chronic leg pain where there would be days it would hurt just to even push on the gas pedal in my car to drive to and from work. I was just constantly, it just felt like sledgehammers had been taken to my legs. And even just lying still, it was just painful. It was just constant, constant pain. So through all of this, my life had been slowly deteriorating. I wasn't able to keep up socially. I wasn't able to keep up physically. I started, you know, becoming more and more internal, the less and less I was able to do. It was all I could do just to get to and from work each day and then get home and go right to bed. So in order to, what I thought I was doing was, you know, saving energy and getting as much rest as I could use up my energy the next day. So at the point that I had discovered ice baths, I was quite depressed and quite anxious and also completely at the end of my rope. It was affecting my relationships, not just with my husband and my kids. I do have 2 babies from another mama, Jason's first marriage, my 2 sons. They're absolutely wonderful guys. And even just close friendships and family relationships, like it was just too hard for me to exist. So this person who I was, who absolutely hated the cold and couldn't even imagine what it would be like to take an ice bath, said, "I don't care." At that point, I was literally ready to try anything. So my very first ice bath, and you guys can all get a good look at this on our Instagram. My very first ice bath was about 9 seconds. I hovered my entire body over the tub. I had my feet and my hands braced on either side. I dropped myself in quite violently, held my breath for about 9 seconds, and then leapt out, freaked out, and felt amazing. I felt so incredible after 9 seconds that it completely changed my life from that point on. I didn't even need 2 minutes. And in that 9 seconds, I felt an empowerment in a way that I never had in my entire life. And now I could say 100 stories about the confident person I was before I got sick and the things I was capable of and the super badass woman that I was prior to getting sick. And I can look back now and say, okay, I needed to get sick and these are the reasons I needed to get sick. And in that first 9 seconds of an ice bath, that powerful impact, that empowerment I was feeling, I knew my life had changed completely. And so from then on, I was just an instant ice addict. Like, I just wanted it in my life. And so when Jason and Tom, who Tom speaks, he is actually in thermodynamics as well. So like, they have the knowledge and like the background knowledge, but to watch the two of them working together to create this product became very exciting, because as I was getting more into the cold and more developing my technique for getting through long enough to be in there for 2 minutes, it was just more and more exciting to think that this is not only a therapy that has no ill side effects, like there are no side effects that you would get with medications and anything like that, but it's also immediate. The results were so instantaneous. And on top of all of that, it was a completely passive form of therapy, right? I didn't have to get up and go to a gym. I didn't have to do anything to prepare. I simply went in front of the water. I sat down in the water. I breathed. I got out of the water and I was different. And it was changing me. And each time I did an ice bath, which at first it was only like once a week or once every few weeks, each time I did one, I felt like a new person emerging from that ice bath. And like Jason said, when we first started, we were doing the Wim Hof breathing method, partly because I couldn't imagine just standing next to an ice bath and stepping right into it. So I'm thinking, like, this has to be the answer. Like, how else are people going to do this? There's no other way to get through the cold without doing this breathing method. Mm-hmm. And I love the Wim Hof breathing method. My favorite part about it is just that holotropic kind of ethereal experience you can have just with the breath and closing your eyes and allowing your body to fully relax and inundating yourself with the oxygen. Like, it's a beautiful experience. It also hyped me up to a point where my energy levels were so high. Standing in front of the ice after Wim Hof breathing, I would develop some anxiety. It felt to me like I was on the verge of an anxiety attack, just because that hyperventilated breathing style is so similar. And so I was not having super great experience doing Wim Hof and immediately getting into the ice. And so I thought, well, that's okay. Like, I can figure out a different way. I could just get in touch with the breath. And that's really where I started in my own training of coaching myself through the cold in order to be able to make it to 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, was just getting in touch with my own breath. And that led me on a whole other journey through our company, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But quite simply, a 9-second ice bath completely changed my life. And now, 2.5 years later, I am completely autoimmune free. I do not have a single trace of autoimmune in my system. I don't take a single medication. At one point in time, I was, you know, before I discovered cold water immersion, I was taking more than 20 pills, vitamins, and supplements a day. Pills that all of my doctors told me that if I wasn't on, I wouldn't live. I had chronic illness and I needed these pills to survive. So over the course of my practice, I've eliminated the need for any type of medication. I do take vitamin D now, but that's more of an immune booster in our current times. I've gotten rid of chronic pain and inflammation. I no longer experience depression. I would lie if I said if I didn't ever experience anxiety. I do still occasionally experience that, but it's always within control. It's always with almost like a third party perspective. One of the things that cold water immersion has done for me is allow me to create that separation between what is happening and my response to it. So I've completely changed my life and I've lost that 50 pounds. So I maintain a stable weight now. It feels effortless, although I know for certain it's not, but this has helped me completely change my life and get my health back in my own hands.
It's amazing. And it's really, for anyone who out there who's listening who hasn't done any kind of cold exposure. Just the merging of your two stories, it couldn't be written better. The level of understanding the anti-fragility piece, the adaptation under stress, the dealing with these health conditions, and really both of you just continuing to advocate for not only yourselves, but for this tool in people's toolbox to be able to change their lives in so many ways. So yeah, it's exhilarating and really inspiring to listen to you, how you both kind of came to this table and how and what you're doing now. So let's talk a bit about, because there will be people listening who don't really have an understanding of why we would put our bodies in the ice. It sounds insane. And I've been through the process myself, and some of my clients I've put in the ice, and I've done an ice challenge that's 32 days of straight ice baths every day. Let's see what happens in this N equals experiment of one, which I've seen and emailed with you guys and with Thomas about all the things that you're quite often doing to experiment and stretch the boundaries and see where this tool can go. But for anyone who's really brand new to it, do one of you want to sort of volley the question around, you know, where do I start in the sense of cold exposure, ice baths, cold showers? How do I scale if I'm afraid to, let's just, you know, use the pun of put my toe in the water, to be able to sort of test out, you know, what comes next or if it's right for me, et cetera?
Yeah. So the first thing that I guess I would want people to know is that it gets easier. And, you know, I tell people it's never as uncomfortable as the first time you do it. That's the first time that you're kind of waking up your systems, your vascular system, your nervous system to this very kind of intense stimulus. But one of the things that I noticed right away, especially as I was able to do it more often, is that my tolerance and my, you know, that kind of like discomfort does go down. So with training, with practice, with regular exposure, you know, it doesn't suck as much as it did in the beginning. So that's something that I would want people to know. And then for some really easy experiments to run as just dressing down, you know. I mean, it was always kind of interesting to me to see, you know, people bundled up in the winter, the quote unquote winter time in Phoenix, as if they were in, you know, St. Paul or something like that.
We have that here in LA where people are wearing like knit hats and it feels like it's 65 degrees out.
Right. You're in UGG boots and like a fur collar like jacket and it's, you know, 65 degrees out. Yeah. So the first early experiment a person could do is just, you know, skip the winter clothing as much as you can, depending on, you know, ask yourself, how cold is it really where I'm at? Is it just seasonably cold, like in Phoenix, where it's 50 degrees in the winter and that feels like it's cold because it's 120 degrees in the summer and it's kind of this relative thing? Or is it like real cold, like, you know, Montana or Minnesota or something like that, where the cold actually is physically dangerous if you stay in it too long? If you're in one of these safe zones, which is most places, most time of the year, you know, maybe just skip that extra layer and see what kind of experiments you can run with just being a little less comfortable. Cold showers are also a good experiment to run. I don't like them. I got into them for a while. I kind of used the invention of the Forge to talk myself out of a cold shower routine. I'm like, look, I've got the Forge out there. I don't need to take a cold shower. And I tell people, I said, I would rather sit in 32 degree water than get hit by 60 degree water. There's something that's just a different experience about a cold shower. But that is something that, you know, a person can certainly try out, or maybe just a cold bath. You don't want to do the bags of ice or anything like that. You know, like you said, dip your toe in it. Give these certain things a chance. Understand that there's a difference between something that's uncomfortable and something that is harmful. There's the difference between something that is annoying versus something that is traumatic. And just look for those opportunities to kind of push the limits and push the envelope and get a little uncomfortable and see what you think about it.
I like to say, just do it. I mean, for me, it never would have worked for me to do a cold shower. It never would have worked for me to do an ice bath. I had to go full bore or nothing. And it is scary and you don't know what to expect and you can't imagine being that cold. And like Jason said, it's not going to be dangerous to sit in an ice bath for 2 minutes. Like, there aren't any major risks for that. So once you can resolve that within yourself mentally, the physical part is a lot different of an experience. So I say just go for it, whether you get all the way in, all the way up to your neck and you immediately get out, Or if you get in and you find that you can breathe through that fight or flight response, like, you're going to learn a lot through your own process. But I say go full bore, go straight for an ice bath. Don't even hesitate. And whatever reason you're using to not do it, you know, I don't like the cold. I have Hashimoto's, so it's difficult for my body to regulate temperature. It makes this, that other thing. Like, what we like to say, whatever excuse you're telling yourself not to do it is the exact reason that you could benefit from doing it.
Yeah. And it's important, I think, to just mention everything we're talking about too, is all, this is all deliberate cold exposure. And if you're going to go out and a hike in the snow in your shorts, you should probably bring the piece of clothing you can add on and be reasonable about what you're doing from a deliberate sense. But yeah, you bring up a really great point as well, Adrienne, which I tell clients a lot, that I think the anticipation of the ice bath is worse than the ice bath itself. Do you see that with a lot of people getting in? Because you're coaching people quite often through this, I'm sure, their first experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. At this point, I've coached more than 1,000 plunges, and I would say the vast majority of people I coach make it past 2 minutes, no problem. Because once you're in and you realize that physical sensation, it's almost like coming home for me. I mean, I can't speak for anyone else, and I think every single person's experience is different, but there's a familiarity for our primal bodies in this extreme condition that it's like, oh, I know what to do here. Our physical body knows exactly what to do. You know, all of your heat rushes to your internal organs. You're going to feel tingles in your fingertips and your toes at the beginning of your practice because it's, you know, everything leaves your digits first and those are the furthest away from your heart. But you can, like Jason says too, you can practice that away. The more you do it, the less uncomfortable it is. Although it is always, for me, still a mental challenge of, I am going to do this. Yeah, it can be something that really just feels completely familiar after even your very first time. And I think a lot of people are really surprised at what it feels like. And one of the number one phrases I say to my clients as they're going through this is what cold feels like. We have lost touch with extreme temperatures because we're constantly shuffled to climate-controlled environments. It's not that we can't be in 120 degree heat in Arizona summer. It's not that we can't sit in a 32, 33 degree ice bath. It's just that we're not familiar with it. So we can develop these practices to re-familiarize our bodies with what they were designed to do to begin with, which is to experience extreme conditions. It's what our bodies are for. They're biohackers. They're resilient. They're anti-fragile.
Yeah, it's perfect. Let's just gear over towards benefits so we can talk about some of the, you guys have tons of research. I've read a lot of materials, but just, you know, the evidence-based, peer-reviewed science that's out there that we can see is giving us specific benefits about getting in the ice. I don't know if you each want to handle a few of the benefits that are your favorites, but we'd love to hear more about benefits of the ice bath, the cold plunge.
Yeah. I want to touch on something that you mentioned, is that anticipation of the ice bath, especially, you know, after one or two, now you kind of know what's coming. And so there's that anxiety over that expected future moment. And this, I mean, we can go into some of the sciencey stuff as well in a second, but I did want to kind of remark on that, because for me, I feel like that is, it's not very scientific, it's more philosophical, but it's one of the big, big medicines in this practice for me. Because if a person is standing next to an ice bath and they're anxious and they're stressed and they're dreading that future moment, what we have is a really good opportunity to point out and to kind of learn and resonate with the idea that, what is the stress for? What is the anxiety? It's over an expectation, right? It's over a thought that lives in our mind. And it doesn't matter if that thought is based in reality or if it's based in fear or anxiety. It's still just a thought. Like, what is the real reason, the true reason why we would be anxious or stressed out or panicking about a future moment? Because the future moment doesn't exist. I mean, once the future is now, the present, then the present moment exists, and it's okay and, you know, perfectly normal to have whatever reaction we're going to have to our present moment. But so much, I feel, of the human mentality lives in the past and in the future. We're either anxious or stressed out about a future moment that we suspect is going to happen, or we're kind of toiling over a past moment, something that didn't go quite right for us. And so much of our cognitive load is not paying attention to the present. And so there's a lot of different voices and narratives out there that say, you know, paying attention to the present, being mindful, mindfulness, being in the present moment is such a powerful tool to develop. And so I feel that that moment right before we get into the ice is a very good chance to practice that. Like if I'm going to be in an uncomfortable situation 5 seconds from now, that's fine. But why I don't need to have an effective reaction about that 5 second away moment. Right now I can be in the present moment. And so that's a big thing that we work on in our practice is just to regulate that anxiety right before getting into the bath and making sure that we are entering in a calm state and exiting in a calm state as kind of a cognitive training. That said, one of the medical biological aspects to the therapy and the training that I think is probably my favorite to think about and discuss is the vasomotor response. So this is where a lot of the pain, especially in the fingers and the toes, comes from when a person first starts a deliberate cold exposure practice. Is they were kind of waking up the vascular system. So the vascular system has its own kind of muscle tissue that it uses to constrict and dilate the blood vessels in response to temperature volatility. Now, it's really easy for us to dilate our blood vessels. We can do it with heat, like in a sauna, or we can do it with aerobic exercise, running, cycling, you know, anything that gets our core body temperature up. And so our blood vessels will actually dilate and expand a little bit. There's really only one way to artificially induce vasomotor constriction. So that's working the muscle groups the other direction where everything constricts down. And that's with deliberate cold exposure. Now, one of the reasons that I like this, even though I can't really test my venous muscular tissue to get any kind of like window into my vein health, although I expect that doing the regular cold exposure practice has given me a lot better vein health. But one of the reasons I like this is chronic venous insufficiency is one of the more pesky diseases of aging that we see in our population. So if we go to senior centers, assisted living facilities, nursing homes, things like that, you will find a lot of senior citizens who have very poor vein health. They're very cold, even if it's like 70 degrees in the room, they're bundled up. In more extreme cases, we'll develop a condition called digital ulceritis, which means that ulcers actually start forming on the fingers and the toes. In some cases, they will have to have extremities amputated, fingers, toes, feet, hands, amputated as they near the end of life. The reason this happens is because a post-industrial species that is very much in discordance with this environment, our bodies, our vascular systems are not getting the vasomotor workout that our biologies evolved over the millions and millions of years of human evolution. We are all descended from apes that walked barefoot and naked across glaciers tracking hooved animals. And that's the condition, the stress state condition that our vascular system evolved in. Now that we don't use that, it's like not using a muscle group for your entire life. And so by the time that we get older, that muscle group starts failing us first. Now, when a senior citizen develops ulcers on their fingers, their toes, and they have these things amputated, it's just such a drastic drop in quality of life. They can no longer feed themselves. They can no longer, you know, get up and walk across the room. It's very painful. And so I like that, what I hope, and I'll tell you in about, you know, 50 to 100 years when I'm nearing the end of my life, is that I hope that by doing the regular deliberate cold exposure, reworking that muscle group in my vascular system so that I can keep my fingers and keep my toes and extend the quality of my life as I do near the end of it. That's just one of the biological aspects that I think is really interesting and one of the ones that I probably talk about the most.
Cool.
I think one of the things that I like the most are the mental health benefits. Within about 30 to 45 seconds of cold water immersion, if you're immersed in an ice bath below 35 degrees all the way up to the neck, you get a strong boost of norepinephrine and dopamine. Those effects are very concentrated and can last for several hours. And then when developed as a daily practice of cold water immersion, those effects can start to last for days, and you can start to retrain your brain on how to activate those chemicals as needed. So like I said, this has helped me completely get rid of my depressed and anxious state that I was in from being sick for so long. Now, I also know that I have a tool. So there's not a pill in the world that I can take to put me in a better mood. if I'm struggling emotionally, mentally, maybe it's a hard day, maybe I'm feeling extremely hormonal. I mean, there are any number of reasons that all of a sudden our mood can be altered throughout a day. If all I have to do is sit in an ice bath for about 2 to 3 minutes, and I am a brand new person. So to be able to have a tool like that at my disposal, no matter what, it just helps completely turn that day around, that mood around. And to be able to build our mental and our emotional resiliency with a completely natural substance, as opposed to relying on pills and medications or even alternatives, you know, if you're self-medicating, that to me is one of the most powerful healing and health benefits of this entire practice. Yes, it helps with metabolism. Yes, it helps boost your immune system. It does all of these wonderful and amazing things. But when we think of mental health and the things that are available for us when struggling with PTSD, when struggling to overcome addiction, when struggling with anxiety and depression, when struggling with extreme hormones, especially for women as we age, going through menopause and going through those drastic swings in estrogen and testosterone, the boosts, the drops, the changes, the fluctuations, to have a tool that can help regulate that and stabilize that and also provide immediate recognizable benefits, it's a miracle to me. It's an absolute miracle. And I'm thrilled to have discovered that part of it.
Yeah, amazing. All the stuff you guys are talking about, it's been a little hard around with the COVID stuff that's going on for me to easily get in ice. And as you talk about it, I have this sort of longing to be able to sort that out. Yeah, and the list of benefits, I think it goes on and on. And can you just talk a little bit, I think the women in the audience as well, just there's a piece of this sort of conversation around, you know, brown fat and adipose tissue and just, you know, a little bit about sort of that segment of the body as it relates to ice.
Jason, I think you're a little more qualified to talk about the brown fat science than I am. I understand the effects, but.
A little bit. And again, you know, Tom is our research scientist, but basically the brown adipose tissue, brown fat is something that we have a lot of when we're born. This has been commonly referred to as baby fat. Now, the reason that we have that is our bodies have basically two different ways of generating internal body heat quickly. One of the ways is through the burning of fat, of white blood cells. And so the brown fat, in a way that I'm not entirely intimately familiar with, the brown fat works to burn the white fat cells to produce heat. The other way that we have to generate internal kinetic energy, internal heat, is through shivering. So when we're babies, we don't actually have the muscle control and development to shiver, which is why evolution has hooked us up with these extra layers of brown fat. So when a baby needs to produce some internal body temperature quickly, it's got a lot of brown fat, it's got a lot of white fat, it's got that the fat stores that it can burn off until the child develops the muscle development and control to be able to shiver. So then as we grow older, especially if we don't experience much temperature volatility, our body switches its favorite way of internal body temperature generation from burning of fat to the shiver response. So that's why as adults, when we get cold, we tend to shiver. So that's our body just rubbing our muscle molecules together in a way to create friction, to create internal body heat. So through the deliberate cold exposure training and therapy, we can bring ourselves to a place where we want to shiver, where our shiver response starts to kick in. Our shiver response is kind of, it sits between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system in that it comes on subconsciously. You know, nobody really turns it on, but you can turn it off. You can kind of use some mindfulness training and just kind of like this, Scott Carney calls it driving a wedge between your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system to be able to control this response. And so if you stop yourself from shivering, your body then moves to its other go-to for internalizing or creating internal body heat, and that is in fat burning. So even though as adults we lose almost all of our brown fat, there's always still a little bit in there. And as we do more deliberate cold exposure through this training, we can actually start to regrow those stores of fat. Now, it's not like I don't have like a big, huge, fatty part on my shoulders, which is where the brown adipose tissue tends to reside. It's nothing like that. But the idea is that the brown adipose tissue deposits do grow and you start to be able to use fat burning mechanisms to regulate body temperature and to create internal heat. And that I feel is very true, especially for me. I was born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona, and was very cold sensitive before getting into this practice. And I'm just not very cold sensitive anymore. In fact, I can be in some pretty cool environments, you know, 45 degrees, dressed completely down. I can even be out camping and just walking around, you know, without a shirt. And I'm actually warm to the touch. I'm not shivering. You can reach out and touch me, and I'm actually like warm to the touch because my fat burning mechanisms have become more developed, and I can just kind of turn that on and off to create my own internal body heat. So that's a really good, it's almost like a party trick. But as you know, as Adrienne was saying, with her autoimmune conditions, one of the symptoms of that was she gained weight. She gained a lot of weight that she didn't want to gain. And so being able to kind of take control of those fat burning mechanisms, I feel, are that's where kind of like the weight loss can come in with the training and therapy.
So that's the part that I understand. When I was going into the cold, not only was it difficult because I just didn't like cold, but as I was learning to breathe and control my breath through the fight or flight response and stay in longer and longer and longer, my body would have to use the brown fat to activate the white fat in order to burn the energy to warm me up. When I read Scott Carney's book, What Doesn't Kill Us, I learned the trick of breathing through that shiver response. Because if I shiver, then yeah, that's a certain amount of energy my body is using. And yeah, you know, increase my metabolism. It's increasing energy. It's helping, you know, burn calories. But when I was breathing through that shiver response and not allowing my body to shiver, what I was actually doing was increasing the stores of my brown fat, which then turned my white fat into energy. So the weight really started to literally just melt off. I don't know how to even say it. At that point in time, I had already moved to a low inflammation diet for about almost 2 years at that point. So I'd already completely overhauled my diet. I was told by every one of my specialist doctors that weight loss just wasn't an option for me, partly because of my autoimmune conditions, partly because of the medications that I was taking. They're almost like inhibitors of, you know, like your body's entire function. And so my body was just listening to these pills, not listening to itself. And then when I started to do cold water immersion and started to train what was actually physically happening in my body, the weight started to really melt off. And so now, and here's another thing that I noticed. I don't know how much of that 50 pounds I lost. I absolutely believe that several pounds of the weight that I lost was just internal inflammation. I don't think we even realize how puffy, how bloated, how absolutely swollen we can be and how much we can carry because we are inflamed and angry and the things within our bodies are not moving the way they ought. And that can happen with hormones, that can happen with, you know, with disease, that can happen with medications that we're on, that can happen because our minds aren't where they need to be. So many different reasons. But doing cold water immersion is kind of like that little reset button. You know, I'm feeling a little sluggish, I'm feeling a little bloated, I'm feeling a little, you know, whatever it is surrounding that. I do my 2 minute ice bath. Well, for me now, it's like 3 to 5 minutes. But I do my ice bath and I get out and I'm just like, shoop. Like, I felt like everything squeezed right in. And I don't know, there's something about it too that when I'm taking an ice bath, I feel like I'm actively doing crunches, even though for sure I know I'm not. So I say, I don't have abs because like I do crunches, I have abs. Like that's where my abs came back to me was through the ice.
It doesn't sound crazy to me. And I think for anyone who's listening, that's like, well, how are those connected? Tell me, you know, women here, I get abs and they're like, I'll do it. Whatever you tell me, I'll do. Just give me abs.
Sit in an ice bath for 2 minutes. I'm telling you, ladies, that is where it's, I do not work out. I mean, I work in our production, you know, I'm lifting heavy things and stuff, but for the most part, I'm a pretty, you know, I don't do big, heavy workouts. I like to play with the kettlebell and the mace here and there, but I'm not consistent. But the ice has, I mean, it's gotten me into the best shape I've ever been in my whole life. In my whole entire life, I've never been this in shape.
Yeah, I love that. And at the end of the 32 days of me doing ice baths every day, whether I liked it or not, I looked in the mirror and thought, this is the most defined my musculature has ever looked. And I can't really, I'm always working out, I'm always doing fitness, I'm always doing all the things, but it's just, I can't really credit it to anything else. I also think it's really important that you're talking about these pieces of the puzzle, because of course, anybody who's got a lot of medical stuff going on in their physiology is going to talk to a doctor before they do anything, if they have a heart condition, et cetera. If there are some, you know, there's contraindications, or people should at least cleared by a doctor to be plunging. But talking about Hashimoto's, talking about these autoimmune conditions, they have more and more, I'm just watching them come up, you know? And when you talk about inflammation across the board, I think also gut health, you know, anything, those pounds of inflammation as we reduce all the fluffiness of our body, if you will, I think that's a really salient point you're making, is that it could, some of it could have come from weight loss, but some of it is also making your body that uninflamed, how much healthier it is.
And I think that it has to be a well-rounded, like, cocktail of things, right? You have to eat. I believe that by eating well, by treating my body well, and by doing cold water immersion, I have this multifaceted approach to reducing inflammation in my body. Because inflammation, I mean, it can come from so many different external sources, but can also come from our own internal sources. You know, what kind of unrest and, you know, lack of stillness do I have within that needs to be addressed? And especially in the beginning of cold water immersion practice, I was at the height of urticaria, which is allergy. I mean, I was just a walking hive, and I was still learning of all the different things that my body was having inflammatory reactions to. So sometimes I would be introduced to something that would cause an allergic reaction. So my entire body would swell up. Like, I would just get puffier and puffier right in front of your eyes and turn redder and redder and redder, like almost stop flying red, beet red. And all of a sudden one day, like, I had even come home from work early because I had had such a severe reaction. I thought, I'm just going to go right to the ice. Like, my body was so hot. I felt like I could barely touch my face. I was so puffy and swollen that the surface of my skin was tender to the touch. I went and sat in the ice. And that day I was in there for about 4 minutes, but by the time I got out, it almost looked like I was a smaller, less red, tinier version of myself. That's how much it immediately reduced the inflammation. And now I'm talking head to toe, I swelled up and got red and puffy. And so being in the ice, it just calmed everything down. And it was a faster result than the shots that I would take. It was a faster result than the medication I was on. It was an immediate answer to the onslaught of inflammation I had from the allergy that I had experienced.
Well, that's great. Did you ever feel like you got negative feedback or pushback from the medical community or doctors if you spoke to them about it, saying, don't do that, that it's not good for you?
I wasn't told, don't do that. I was told there's no science to back up what you're telling me. I was told, it sounds like that sounds fun for you. I'm glad you found something that you enjoy. I was told by my endocrinologist, October of 2019, so just a few months ago, an entire year of me weaning myself off of every medication, so more than 20 pills a day. I got 2 Xolair shots a month for my allergies, like really serious stuff that I was on. I spent an entire year weaning myself off of everything, including Prilosec, including Zyrtec. I mean, you name it, I got rid of it, including vitamins and supplements. I got rid of it all. So when I went in for my annual blood work to my endocrinologist, I had mixed feelings. I was thinking, you know, it could go one way in that I feel amazing, but the blood work still says there's something going on and I need to be on medication. Or I could go in and she confirms all of my suspicions that I have, in fact, made myself well again. Well, she did confirm my suspicions. All of my blood work came back great. She didn't even see a need for me to be on vitamin D anymore. Like, I had done wonderful. And here's what she said. I hope I never have to see you again. Now, at first, I was really excited about that. I thought, yeah, heck yeah, I hope I never have to come back here. This is amazing. Yeah, I never want to see you again, and thank you. Goodbye. It took about a week for me to realize I was very angry at that response, because I'd shared with her the entire time about my cold water immersion practice. Now, at this point, I was 2 years in and telling her, and I was doing it almost daily. So I was doing it 5 to 7 days a week. And I realized I was very angry because if someone you were treating for a chronic illness that you truly believed in your heart of hearts they would have for their entire life, and they would be susceptible to this medication, they would have to be on this medication for the rest of their lives, no matter how many bad side effects, that this medication caused. And let me tell you, there were a lot. There were how many bad side effects? And they came to you and said, I found a way to help myself alleviate these symptoms. I'm not even talking cure. Like, forget about the fact that I felt cured. I found an answer to alleviate the discomfort of the symptoms that I was experiencing on a day-to-day in, day-out basis. Wouldn't you want to know more? Wouldn't you want to shout that from the rooftops? And she didn't. She didn't want to share it with anyone. She didn't want to tell. She didn't even want to put it in my file. My allergist put it in my file. She didn't want to put it in my file. And I thought, now that makes me angry, because now I know for certain you're not here to help me. I have to help myself. So I shout it from the rooftop. I'll tell anyone who will listen the ways that cold water immersion can absolutely heal your body and alleviate the symptoms that you have from the illnesses you're experiencing.
Yeah, and it's, our medical community has a long way to go. You know, the traditional medicine, why it's so wonderful you guys are doing what you're doing, because it is about not only advocating for yourselves, but letting people know what you've discovered through your practices, through the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that you've worked with and talked to and spoken to, and the research that's out there, so that they can, if people feel like this is something they would like to try, and then they can dive in and do it. Jason, can you talk a little bit about the protocol? Like, I'm new to this. I want to check it out. What's it feel like for me to sort of set up some kind of ice bath and then put myself in it? How cold do I want it to be, et cetera, just to kind of, and then also, you know, maybe you could just have that stem into, am I getting it in every day right away? Should I start? Is there a specific protocol that you guys recommend that's sort of like a good standard to start with?
Yeah. So definitely the Marotsko Forge is a great investment for anyone who's going to be getting into a regular deliberate cold exposure practice. But for people who are just kind of thinking about it, maybe they haven't even taken their first ice bath, that's not an investment you want to make right away. You know, you don't want to buy a motorcycle until you figure out whether or not you like riding motorcycles. A lot of people just don't like riding motorcycles. So the real easy way is grab some bags of ice if you have a bathtub at home and do an ice bath that way. Most bathtubs these days don't really fit a whole human very comfortably, especially a tall human. So it might be a little uncomfortable. But I would say the next experiment up from there is to get a galvanized steel tub. They're about $150 from agricultural feed stores, and do an ice bath that way. It's a pretty recognizable artifact in the deliberate cold exposure community. You see them all over Instagram, people getting in these, you know, those metal tubs. As far as how cold, I would say, I mean, we always go for cold as it can be, 32 degrees, but, you know, anything under 45 degrees Fahrenheit, I think, is a really good experiment. It's going to be enough to stimulate the vagus nerve to kind of enact that fight or flight response. There's like a shortness of breath, and it's enough to give that boost of norepinephrine and dopamine that Adrian mentioned earlier. And for the first time, what I really want to stress again is to make sure that the person is entering the bath calmly as they can and exiting as calmly as they can. And the reason for this is it starts to train the neurological pathway responses. So let's say I'm about to do my first ice bath ever, and I'm standing outside of the ice bath, and I'm stressed, and I'm anxious, and maybe I'm kind of like jumping up and down because I got some nervous energy, and I'm like, oh, this is going to suck, what am I doing? I'm crazy, this is stupid. And then I get in the ice bath, and it's cold, and it's uncomfortable, and I panic, and I'm breathing really quickly. I'm, oh God, this sucks, so cold. And then I just jump right out, and I'm in that mental state. And then I get out of the ice bath, and I'm jumping around like, oh, so cold. And I'm kind of like, you know, curling up in a little ball a little bit. Now, ultimately, 90% of everything that I just described is a choice. It's a choice, as I said earlier, to allow oneself to become stressed and anxious over a moment that hasn't happened yet. It's the imagination of a moment. In the Stoic philosophy, there's a saying that says we suffer more in our imaginations than we do in reality. There's more in life to frighten us than there is to crush us. And so that reaction going into the ice bath is a choice. Now, the physiological responses, the panic, the fight or flight, the shortness of the breath that one experiences in the ice bath, that is really not much of a choice. That is kind of a trigger, biological, physiological trigger gets hit. That reaction is very involuntary. But the decision to leave the ice bath while still in that state is a choice. One can choose to stay in the ice bath through that fight or flight response and work towards that boost of norepinephrine and dopamine about 30 seconds in, which will make the flip of the mental process a lot easier. So that initial panic response can be brought back to a place of calm, and then we can actually be sitting in the ice in a calm state. That's the point to exit the ice bath. Once you have returned yourself to calm, that is the point to exit the ice bath. When you exit the ice bath, stand tall, stand proud. Adrian likes to put people's fists on their hips in kind of this like superhero pose that's actually called arms akimbo, which is a really funny word. And so standing up powerfully like that and with like a feeling of accomplishment, like maybe it sucked, maybe you'll never do a second ice bath again in your life, but you like you did it, right? Feel accomplished, feel proud. And by choosing these different emotional and physical responses, we're training our brain. We're training our brain to learn the difference between what is and is not within our, you know, reasonable field of control. We're training our brain to understand that it's not just ice baths that stress us out unnecessarily. There's a lot of things around us that stress us out unnecessarily. Just like I don't have to react to, I don't have to emotionally react to an ice bath because I've trained myself not to. But then you start to realize I don't have to emotionally react to my boss, you know, or my coworkers, traffic. Or my mm-hmm. or the traffic, or bills, or screaming kids, whatever the stressors are that we have in our lives, start to realize, like, well, if I can choose my emotional state before and after an ice bath, I can choose my emotional state anytime I want. And so that, too, I feel is a really big, powerful medicine, not just in the deliberate cold exposure experience, but in the way that we coach people and we tell people to do it. Because there is, you can do it the first way I described, with the panic and with the anxiety and with the stress, and but then you're just reiterating and reinforcing those neurological pathways. Choosing to do it the other way helps us to train our mental processes that we can apply through the rest of our life.
And I just want to touch on a couple. I want to add just a couple of things. We do get in calmly and with intention. I say do not hesitate. Like when you step into the water, step all the way in, sit all the way down. Make sure the water goes all the way up to the neck. You sink your shoulders, you drop your hands. Like I see a lot of people that keep their shoulders and their hands out. And if you're doing that, you're not reaching the vagus nerve. So if you sink yourself to where your shoulders are submerged and the water reaches the back of your neck, that's where the basis of the vagus nerve is located. That's where you're going to get that full mental reset. That's where you're going to get that strong boost of norepinephrine and dopamine. So it's quite intentional to make sure that you are as fully submerged as possible. Now, if you're doing it in your bathtub at home, you just can't do it. Let your knees stick out before you let your neck stick out. You know, if you got to make a choice, get the neck in. That's going to make a big difference. And if you don't have a bathtub at home, or if you don't have access to a device like that, even filling a bowl with ice water and dunking your head for 10 to 15, your face for 10 to 15 seconds at a time is going to provide benefits. It's not going to be nearly the same as a full body ice bath, but it's going to start to familiarize you with this is what cold feels like. And I think that's one of those things like practice your breath before you go in so that when you submerge yourself and you have that hyperventilative breathing as a result of fight or flight response, you're already practiced. So it's almost like creating a muscle memory. Before I go in, I'm taking really deep and intentional breaths. I'm focusing on the inhale. I'm letting the exhale fall. So it's just very relaxing, like, you know? And we tend to, when we hyperventilate, we tend to focus on that exhale, which is going to deplete our oxygen and it's going to make us feel more anxious. When you're in the ice bath, if you're hyperventilating through that fight or flight response, if you can focus on the inhale, just let the exhale barely fall and keep in taking inhale as much as you can. You're increasing your oxygen and therefore you can increase your confidence and your calm state of mind. That is also why I say that when you get out of the tub, step into a pose arms akimbo. It's also called Power Pose or Wonder Woman Pose or Warrior Pose. It can be done. It's got a lot of little nicknames, but quite specifically, when you stand in that pose for 2 minutes, you're changing your physiological state of mind. You can increase and invoke confidence and calm by standing in that pose and just breathing for 2 minutes. So what you're doing too is you're creating that muscle memory of the experience, going in calmly, going in all the way to the neck, sinking your hands, even if it's uncomfortable. I promise you can practice that away, stepping into power pose, and just recreating that cycle of calm all the way through your practice.
Yeah, that's really great. And I think what you guys are both speaking to is something I see a lot with clients, which is sort of building this mental toughness, building this capability to repeat that action. Or like Jason was talking about, I see it. I found myself, I don't know if you guys find yourself doing this a lot, but the more I'm doing exposure work, the more I will say, well, as it goes in the ice, you know, it goes in life.
Yep.
You know, like all of these things. And it's like, I think climbers say that who like, you know, they scale the side of a wall and it's like where they give up is like the same place they give up in with their boss or traffic or all those things. And I think it's the same way. I learned a lot of lessons in the ice, which I think must hold true for lots of people who are doing it. But yeah, that sort of lesson and, you know, as it goes, philosophy, it's interesting because you think it's just an ice bath, but really it's so much more. Yes. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Well Power Podcast. Please subscribe and follow us on social at Well Power Podcast or Warrior Woman Mode. And if you're really digging what we're throwing down, would you head on over and leave a 5-star review? It helps others find us, lets us know you're out there, and from time to time I'll be reading the wildest, most wonderful reviews on air. Any foul language you hear on this podcast is not approved by my mother. And as always, I'm your host, Kristen. Be well.